Today is January 2nd, 2023. Current Bitcoin price is $16,718.
Welcome to the BitByte podcast, your source for news and information about Bitcoin and the cryptocurrency space. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not financial advice.
Happy New Year, Rick.
Happy New Year.
2023. Is everything going to like just become magical all of a sudden?
Yeah, maybe black magic.
Black magic. Like, but not the Santana kind, right?
Yeah, no.
Because that's like good black magic, right? Is that such a thing? No?
No.
I don't even know what I'm talking about here. 2023, Bitcoin dropped again. I think this is the second time or the second year closing lower than previously, or the second year, you know, closing on a red. And that's the first time that's ever happened for Bitcoin.
A second year in a row?
Yeah.
What was it at the previous year?
So for 2020, well, that had to have been 2021, right?
Yeah, 2021, and then
let me go back in the charts here. So 2021, where were we at? So we had a high in 2021 of, is that right? 41,000? Oh no, that's January 4th, 2021. Okay, so we were at,
I thought they hit 60,000 that.
Trying to see what we were at the beginning of December 22. Monday, January 3rd, 2022, we were at 40,398. And that's okay. When it was in 2022 that we had hit the, or 2021 is when we hit the 69,000. Nice. So, and then we closed that year at 42.
Yep. So right, it went down a little bit.
Yeah.
But overall in 2021, it went up in general, right?
Yeah. No. Overall in 2021, it was up in general for sure. And then 2022, it closed down from its high in 2021, and then 2022, like, we only got up to 48,000, I think, is all we got last year, and now we're closing again at 16. So that's basically all they were saying, is that it's the second time that we've closed in a red, and that's the first time that's ever happened. Well, yeah, there's been a lot of firsts, because remember, we weren't supposed to hit below the threshold of the, basically, the barn doors of the previous bull run, the 20,000?
Yeah. Exactly.
And we have dipped below that.
Yep.
And we've kind of remained there. Although, you know, this morning, I don't know, you probably didn't see the markets at all this morning, but it's a holiday in the United States, but Bitcoin actually plunged for a while this morning, and then it shot back up. Not sure what that was all about. But, you know, speaking of, you know, going into 2023, I've got some predictions, but I think I'm going to hold off on the predictions until the end of the show. What some of the big popular calls are stating for this year.
Yep.
Because they're all over the place.
They are.
So, first thing, I guess, Bitcoin Core developer claims to have lost 200+ Bitcoin in a hack. That came out recently. Bitcoin OG and core developer Luke Dashger, I think that's how you say his name, claims his PGP key was compromised, resulting in virtually all his Bitcoin being stolen from him on December 31st. Now, this is something, and we've talked about this before, about securing your own keys, you know, cold wallets and why they're important. Apparently, he had them on a hot wallet, and so they were able to hack his computer and be able to get his Bitcoin. you always want to make sure, like, if you're self-custodying, that you are doing the best way you can to make sure that you're keeping your money secure, especially, like, we've talked about not keeping large amounts on exchanges or anything like that, right?
Right.
And you don't want it, like, if you do keep it on a computer, make sure it's not connected to the internet or anything like that. Make sure there's no way that somebody can get to it. That's why we've always been kind of big fans of cold storage.
Cold storage, not your keys, not your crypto.
Yep.
Where there, that is hot storage, like you're saying, it, keeping it connected.
Yeah, I think the easiest way to understand the difference between hot storage and cold storage is that hot storage, you don't have to do anything to move Bitcoin around. Like, you don't have to enter any private keys, no passwords, nothing. It's just a live wallet that's out there that's plugged into the network at all times. Cold storage is actually removed from the network, so it's not there to be tampered with.
Okay. Or,
you know, there's an extra step, basically, that has to take place. It has to become active again to be able to move it. Otherwise, it's in cold storage. So there's been a lot of blowback from this. Some people are saying, oh, yeah, sure, whatever. It was for tax reasons. He doesn't want to have to tell the IRS what he's got. But Chungping Zhao actually chimed in and said, hey, look, we'll keep an eye on any of these coins. If you give us the information, we'll look for them. If they hit an exchange or anything like that, we'll keep you informed so that way they can try and recover them, right?
Yeah.
But that's always something to watch out for. Just a reminder. I mean, considering this is like a guy who has been working on Bitcoin on the, you know, the back end for a long time. It's just a good reminder.
Yeah. You got to think he knows more about Bitcoin than like 99% of the Bitcoiners, right?
Yeah. And if he even fell for his trap, then that's bad. But yeah, like they have a tweet. It looks like, he's going through the different tweets and everything that was going on with it. They've got, you know, he's talking about it and kind of how sad he was about it. And then some dude posts on their top tier boating accident, thumbs up. It's like, yeah, I don't know. Like, I mean, if that's a horrible way to view it, like if that's legit, like that poor guy, that's not 200 yeah. Bitcoin. I mean, that's a lot of cash.
Well, didn't he say that was all of his Bitcoin or pretty much his whole hoard?
Yeah. It says it was all of his Bitcoin have lost 200 plus. So we don't know exactly what that number is.
So 200 is on the low end.
Yeah. He had hot wallet on the same computer he did everything else on. And it looks like he was just very complacent.
Wow.
And that's the other scary thing, right? Like you're like, well, I've never been hacked all this time. I'm fine. Right. Cause he's probably been in it for a long time.
Right.
So sad, sad day. And then we were talking last time. We had talked about some other type of predictions for 2023 that we were seeing some stuff happening within the market itself. I guess not necessarily the market, but analysts and traders and stuff like that. We're talking about what 2023 was going to shape up like. And what did you have? I know you had some information on that.
Well, yeah, I was just kind of, you know, I've been spitting out different things here and there. So I thought I'd actually look at the people that we've been talking about that we've mentioned, like Jeff Bezos. I mean, he's not necessarily, you know, an investor, but he's been pretty successful. And or Robert Kiyosaki, Michael Burry, Larry Lepard is another guy I've been following recently. And well, first off, I think I'd like to start with Charlie Munger. And, you know, he just turned 99, right?
Jeez, yeah.
He just turned 99. And he was telling us that all those people who are complaining, he actually lived through the Great Depression. And he's seen what tough times really look like. And he goes, you guys still have it good.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's just something that we got to keep in mind. I mean, the guy's been around for freaking almost 100 years. He's seen a thing or two. And he's still active and he still seems pretty sharp.
Yeah.
Though I saw him also throwing bombs. He was saying that people feel like they have to jump on whatever's hot to make a buck. And he said, whether that be child prostitution or Bitcoin. So
Oh, that's a hurtful like lump together. Like him and Warren Buffett have not been the biggest fans of Bitcoin from the get-go.
That's throwing some bombs right there. Yeah. I mean, that's pretty bad.
That's pretty hard.
But I figure I bring up that. And so that's looking at things. Hey, you know, things are kind of bad, but they could be a lot worse.
Yeah.
But now we're going to get to the people who are saying it's kind of bad now, but it's going to get a hell of a lot worse. So first off, Jeff Bezos. He says the probabilities say that we are in a recession right now, or we're likely to be in one very soon. My advice to people is, whether they are small business owners, is to take some money off the table, take some risk off the table. If you're going to make a purchase, maybe slow down that purchase a little bit. Keep some dry powder on hand and wait a bit. He's telling consumers to hang on to cash and basically delay big purchases.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, he's not the CEO of Amazon anymore, but I mean, he probably has more time to look at this stuff now that he's not. So he probably knows some things that, you know, the regular person may not. Robert Kiyosaki, the father or the author of, was it Rich Dad Poor Dad?
Mm-hmm.
He basically is saying, generally, what's coming is worse than a recession, and may God have mercy on all of us. And he basically is calling this the biggest bubble in history, urges investors to dump paper assets and recommends three real assets. And the three real assets are gold, silver, and Bitcoin.
Yep.
And as far as the Bitcoin, I mean, this is an article that was printed last week. So, he's talking about they were mentioning the cryptocurrency's downturn, well, specifically Bitcoin. And, he said, Bitcoin worried? No. I'm a Bitcoin investor, as I'm an investor in physical gold and silver and real estate. In fact, he sees the crypto mayhem as opportunity. When Bitcoin hits a new bottom, 10 or 12K, I will get excited, not worried.
Yeah. Yeah, and actually he's one, and I because of his age and kind of where he came from in the old school, I did not think he was going to be a big fan of Bitcoin. However, he's completely, I guess, floored me with his Bitcoin support. They've got a tweet from him here where they, you know, somebody asked him, hey, are you investing in Bitcoin? He says, yes, I am. I'm very excited about Bitcoin. Why? Because Bitcoin is classified as a commodity, much like gold, silver, and oil. Most crypto tokens are classified as securities, and SEC regulations will crush most of them. I'm buying more BTC. And he had actually, like, whenever we were going through the big run-up back in 2021, he had stated at that point, he had said that he was going to stop buying Bitcoin at that point because he was waiting for the bottom to fall back out so he could back up the truck and buy more again. And he was talking about like price levels at this time, like where we're at now, right? And like what you just said, he wants to see it down to that 10, 12,000 and he wants to buy a bunch. So props to him.
Hey, you know, that's kind of how we're seeing it going. I mean, we think it's going to hit a low before it ever, you know, breaks new ground. So, yeah. But, you know, he's got a better financial position than us where he can back up the trucks literally and just run off with all that Bitcoin.
Yeah. And I mean, if you're ever can, like, don't know, like, just in case you are don't understand what dry powder means, that's what they're talking about is cash, right?
Yep.
They want to make sure you have cash on hand so you can take advantage of those buying opportunities when you actually see them. So,
that's right. You're not in a liquid position, you can't take advantage of this. So,
right.
The next person is Michael Burry. Not necessarily the biggest fan of Bitcoin, but he is famous for The Big Short, the movie that was made about him. You know, basically shorting the housing market right before the 2008 crash. And then he wrote in a tweet that was deleted. It says, "What strategy will pull us out of this real recession? What forces would pull us out?" This is all questionings, and he says, "There are none." And then the tweet actually that was deleted said, "So we are really looking at an extended multi-year recession. Who is predicting this? There are none." He's kind of known as an economic doomsayer, but you know, he bet against the housing market, but he also revealed earlier this year, like about November, he said that he's once again betting against portions of the U.S. economy, though he would not say which ones he's betting against.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, it makes sense, right? You don't want to say what you're going to short. We kind of discussed that this morning.
Found that out the hard way, right?
Yeah, because they kind of showed their hand too soon, and so everybody knew what they needed to do.
Yep.
So
they put the screws to them. Yep.
Yeah. Yep, for sure.
And then another guy I've been starting to follow on Twitter, his name is Larry Lepard. He's an investment manager with EMA. Sorry, I don't remember what EMA stands for, but he's been an investor for quite a while. He's been around a long time. And what he sees happening is an economic debt doom loop unfolding in the U.S., and he believes that sound money is the solution to the pressing issue. And basically what he's talking about, he just explained that what's happening is simple math. If debt grows more quickly than GDP, eventually GDP won't be able to support the debt. The result, either the debt collapse or there's inflation. And this is what he calls an economic debt doom loop.
Yeah. Yeah, because, I mean, that would basically drive that, like, basically a death spiral kind of thing, right?
Yep. And he pointed out that government spent about $350 billion a year on interest expenses. But now, however, the amount has risen to $750 billion. So it's more than doubled. $350 to $750 billion.
Jesus.
That's just the interest on the debt.
Well, and what did the White House just pass? A $1.7 trillion budget?
Yeah.
Is that what it was? And that's only supposed to get them through most of this year of 2023? That's not confirmed to get them all the way through?
No, probably not.
That's so crazy.
Yep. Yeah, they did it with a lame duck Congress, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. It's insanity. I mean, the Inflation Reduction Act that they also passed back in, it was August. There's nothing that's reducing inflation about that whatsoever. It's just a bunch of climate and social justice issues. Basically, they're funding solar, and they don't have the funds to pay for that. So they're just going to, you know, open up the coffers and they're going to print the money to make that happen. So inflation is not going away.
Yeah. And I mean, kind of to build on top of that, too, we've got a couple other things that just kind of came out within the past few hours. One to join your list. Was that your last one that you had on your list there?
Yeah, that's the last one I have on my list right now.
So Peter Schiff, which, I mean, we know he hates Bitcoin and he's a gold bug. However, we've talked about him before where he's very much in line with our thought process. He just doesn't see the value of Bitcoin. But Peter Schiff predicts inflation about to get much worse. U.S. dollar facing one of its worst years ever. IMF actually just came out and made a statement saying the IMF warns of a tough year ahead for world economy, sliding a slowdown in the U.S., the EU, and China. So you're starting to see a lot of those kind of warnings for 2023, right?
Right.
And one of the things, like, we talked a moment ago about Robert Kiyosaki, and I think one of the important things to remember is when he talks about the SEC regulating crypto and crushing everything, basically, people need to pay attention to what's happening with Ripple and the whole SEC lawsuit that's taking place. Because if the SEC ends up winning this lawsuit against Ripple, all your bases belong to us. Like, I mean, they're going to go after everything, and the only thing that'll be safe is Bitcoin and possibly Ethereum, I'm sure.
Can you give a little bit of background on Ripple and what they're facing with the SEC?
Yeah, so Ripple, what happened was, I don't know if you remember, you and I talked about Ripple a long time ago. It was less than a penny.
Yeah, I remember when you first invested in it. It was like fractions of a penny when you.
Yeah, it was basically looking at it. What happened was Ripple had seen what was happening with Bitcoin. They decided they were going to create their own cryptocurrency. They've been around for quite a while. They've caught a lot of flack because they're very regulated. And Ripple actually created the token that they created was XRP, but it was a company that created a token. And what they meant for it to work as was a way for, I guess, in a way to bypass the legacy Swift systems, where you didn't have to go through this clearinghouse to get these things taken care of. It was a blockchain that was going to allow you to transfer money quickly and settle it quickly within the blockchain. And you didn't necessarily have to use Ripple to do it, or XRP, I should say. But you had to have a little bit of XRP to pay for the transactions to move the currencies back and forth.
So they're basically bypassing Swift. I wonder why the SEC went after them.
It's a good question. Well, and what happened was you started to see there was a lot of scrutiny that started to happen. Like Western Union, I think, was one of the early adopters that did a trial run with Ripple or with XRP, trying to transfer funds, you know, globally. They came back and said that it wasn't, I think, a very good way for them to do business. And then I think somewhere in the back end, Ripple ended up buying some of that company, Western Union. They had also started to work with a lot of banks in rolling out systems for them to be able to transfer funds using a certain amount of XRP to actually make the transfers happen. There was a lot of complaining that was going on, especially from the Bitcoin maximalists, saying that Ripple was not, it was too centralized, right? Like there was too much of a consolidation of the power within one space. So what Ripple did, and I think they held more than 51% of the XRP in cold storage, because it's not like Bitcoin where it was mined previously or anything like that, but they held like controlling interest of it. So there was a big push on behalf of Ripple to make sure that they kind of freed that stuff up. They launched nodes, they did all kinds of stuff, and then they put all their holdings of Ripple or XRP into cold storage that would go into like an equity account, and they would release out so much every month. That way, if banks needed to buy some more XRP to be able to do the transfers or whatever, they could during that time. And then whatever was not purchased from that allotment that was released, it would go back into the pile and get locked away again for another X amount of years. So they were doing everything they can to try and push to become decentralized. And the previous head of the SEC, and I can't think of his name right now, it was before Gary Gensler took the reins. Last day that he was in office, he basically brought a lawsuit against Ripple Labs for XRP, saying that it was a security, and just guns blazing, they went after him. And this has been, I think, almost 3 years now that this lawsuit's been going on. And there's been a lot of possible insider trading stuff that's been going on with the SEC with some of this stuff. There were things that they were told by the SEC that they're going back completely on their word on. SEC is trying to keep a lot of things under wraps. But basically, I mean, this is just one of the big boys within the crypto space that's a third-party token, that if the SEC is able to get this, if they win this lawsuit, that's basically going to set their precedence for what they can do for all the other altcoins that are out there.
Yep. And the reason that it is like that is, I mean, just like Ripple and almost every other cryptocurrency out there, there is somebody in charge of it, right? Mm-hmm. It's a company or some type of company issuing it. So once that can of worms is like that precedence is set, I think we are looking at a lot of altcoins getting basically destroyed by this.
Yeah. I mean, and people often talk about how, you know, securities are bad. It's like, no, securities aren't bad. But the problem is that then you're going to fall under a whole umbrella of regulations, and they could just shut a whole lot of them down, right? When you look at a stock, it is technically considered a security because you have a head of the company. You're buying that stock in hopes that it's going to appreciate in value in some way, shape, or form. You have somebody that can directly influence, you know, the CEO, like Michael Saylor, for example. I think we've talked about him on the BitBite podcast, where the reason why he's able to promote Bitcoin is because there's no head of Bitcoin.
Right.
He's not pushing another company.
Yeah, it's truly decentralized.
Right, absolutely. Whereas if he was, he can talk about his own company, but if all of a sudden he started pushing Tesla and it turns out that they owned a bunch of Tesla, he could be brought in under charges for that. Yep. You get what I'm saying? Does that make sense?
Yep.
I know it's kind of as clear as mud, but yeah. Anyways, that's the big thing. So I'm not necessarily saying that you need to be a fan of XRP or Ripple Labs or anything like that, but that lawsuit is going to cause a lot of precedence depending on what the outcome is going to be. And I mean, the SEC may not want to relinquish that control, even if they're in the wrong. You know, there's a lot of power to be gained from this or that, depending on what happens. So just something to keep your eyes on. And I think we had talked, I don't know if it was the last podcast or the one before, that they were supposed to have their, like the case was supposed to be settled shortly. Still hasn't happened yet. So we're still moving with that.
Yep.
Speaking of Michael Saylor, I did have this up. I guess MicroStrategy did something they said that would never happen, and they sold some Bitcoin. And you're supposed to gasp at that point.
Gasp.
What? Does that mean that Michael Saylor no longer believes in Bitcoin? And I think quite to the contrary, we were kind of talking about this before we started recording. They sold 704. Is that what I had said? Or was it?
So that's what they bought.
Well, they bought like 800 afterwards.
So they sold 700, but then they bought another 800.
Yeah. Yeah. It was just, so I think they staggered it up
another 100.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. The company disclosed Wednesday a sale of 700 Bitcoin last week for roughly $11.8 million for tax reasons. Never know, we're not sellers, CEO Michael Saylor said in January. We're only acquiring and holding Bitcoins, right? That's our strategy. So he put that out, talking about how they weren't going to sell. They did sell some. Of course, they were doing it right before the end of the year. And then from my understanding is they bought back roughly 100 more this year than what they had sold last year. So just tax reasons. Got to watch the tax, man. Which I always thought that's interesting.
Well, it sounds reasonable. And, you know, like I had mentioned earlier, if you're big on it, Bitcoin, and you have a position like MicroStrategies or, you know, Michael Saylor, I mean, it might make sense if you know that Bitcoin is going to go down some more, you might as well sell some now and then buy more later.
Yeah. Get right. Some of that dry powder on hand. That's the whole point of the dry powder thing. I mean, yeah, I wish I would have sold some of my Bitcoin when it was at 69,000. Nice. But I didn't. I hodled for all it was worth.
We're still hodling.
Still hodling.
Yeah. At the bottom of the lake.
Yeah, well, you get to a point, you're like, well, if I didn't sell at 69,000, why am I going to sell it, you know, $16,700?
Exactly.
I'm like, no, there's a price, and I don't even know if it ever gets to an actual price that I'll be like, yep, that's what I sell. Maybe portions of it for sure, but I plan on having my Bitcoin for a while. This one just came up. I didn't plan on talking about this either, but billionaire Mark Cuban is doubling down on Bitcoin and says he's even prefers investing in digital assets over gold. I guess he got into a fight with Peter Schiff. Shocker.
That's a good way to get in a flame war with Peter Schiff is basically say gold is better or Bitcoin is better than gold.
Yeah. So now I won't go as far as what he says, but he says financial experts typically consider gold to be a good way for people to protect their value of their invested portfolio from declining due to inflation. However, Cuban called gold investors dumb as you know what, during his interview with Mayer. This was on Bill Mayer's show. If everything went to hell in a handbasket and you had a gold bar, you know what would happen? Someone would beat the out of you and or just kill you and take your gold. So, yeah, that's where he's at on that. Although, I mean, yeah. You and I have talked about that. If we really get to that point where things are so dark and dire that people are willing to beat the out of you for your gold, we have a lot bigger problems at that time.
Yes.
Like I don't even
then think... you should be investing in lead.
Yeah. Like that's a whole different can of worms. And then I think I wanted to go into what some of the predictions are for 2023. And they do they do vary. Some of them are 1,400% rally or 70% plunge. Bitcoin fell over 60% in 2022, driven by a series of high-profile company failures and bleak macroeconomic climate. I think that's kind of misleading when they write a quote like that, because it says Bitcoin fell by over 60% in 2022, driven by a series of high-profile company failures. That makes it sound like Bitcoin's a company. It's not. Right? Am I reading that wrong?
Yeah.
Those who made predictions about Bitcoin's price last year really missed the mark. Some market players have stuck to their neck out with price calls so that what could be another volatile year. So what we're looking at, Tim Draper, if you don't know who Tim Draper is, he's been a Bitcoin bull for a long time. He's got the optimistic call of Bitcoin for 2022 at $250,000 a coin. Didn't happen. He's now extending that timeline out for that $250,000 a coin to mid-2023. Yeah, that's the 1,400% rally that we're looking at. Standard charted $5,000. So they're saying that they think Bitcoin standard chartered says Bitcoin may sink as low as $5,000. The prediction, one of the bank's lists of surprises that are being underpriced by markets, would represent a 70% plunge from current prices. Mark Mobius, veteran investor Mark Mobius, had a relatively successful 2022 in terms of his price calls. In May, he forecast Bitcoin would drop to 20,000 when it was trading above 28,000. And now he said it would fall to 10,000 in 2022, and that did not happen. However, Mobius told CNBC that he is sticking for his $10,000 price call for 2023. And that kind of ties in with Robert Kiyosaki's call, right?
Right.
Carol Alexander, professor of finance at Sussex University, wasn't far off the mark with her prediction that Bitcoin would slip to 10,000 in 2022. Now she thinks that cryptocurrency could be set for gains, but not for the reason you might expect. The catalyst would be more dominoes from the FTX fallout tipping over. Alexander said if this happens, she expects that the price of Bitcoin will top 30,000 in the first quarter and then 50,000 by quarter three or four. So those are just some predictions for this year. So we're either going to be $10,000 or $250,000.
That's a small window.
It's a little margin of error there, possible.
Yeah.
I don't know. I do count myself lucky and blessed that we did survive 2022 in the shape that we did. I am scared for what 2023 will hold. But new year, new opportunities. And I mean, you got to remember, we're going to be approaching the halving towards the end of this year.
So, at least the middle of the year, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, the end of this year is when everything will start to ramp up. It'll be like mid to late this year is when you'll start to see the ramp up happen, because the halving will happen probably in, I think it's in March or April of 2024.
Oh, that's right. 2024, yep.
So, I mean, you'll start to see the ramp up, because that's typically what happens. You'll start to see the ramp up. The halving takes place, and then it explodes usually after that, because then you're all of a sudden your printing press is cut in half. So we're getting there. I would expect a rough, my personal prediction, I would expect a rough first quarter, especially depending on what the Fed does with interest rates. But after that, then we'll have to see where things start to play out as we go into spring and into summer. So,
yep.
Yeah.
I'm just curious to see what they're going to do.
Yeah. We did talk about that a little bit this morning too, when we were having breakfast. The Fed is talking about raising for the whole year, 75 basis points for the year, right? So 0.75% increase for the year, not in within a single increase. So that means we should be getting CPI numbers for December, probably next week, I believe. And then from there, depending on what that inflation number comes in at, I'm guessing we'll see the 25 basis points increase for January, and then we'll kind of go from there. Unless the CPI numbers come out way higher than expected. If we go backwards again on the inflation, like Michael Burry is saying, right? Because he thinks inflation's coming back.
Yep.
Then we'll see a... We may see a tone shift, but maximum pain, it's got to come, I guess.
It's coming one way or the other, I think. I mean, I've been wrong, but... Yep. One of these days, this broken clock will be right.
Well, I not that I don't want you to be right, but I hope you're not right. I would love to be able to retire early because of Bitcoin. So,
well, I think the only way we'll be to retire early is if everything else crashes and Bitcoin somehow manages to survive everything.
To eat out of it. Yeah, for sure.
Yep.
For sure, for sure. All right. Well, sorry, that was a long-winded episode, but new year, we gotta set some things up.
That's right.
So, do you have anything else you wanted to add, Rick?
I think I've done enough.
Okay. Well, thank you all for listening. We will talk to you all soon.
All righty. Bye.